Good morning. Before I begin the sermon, I want to offer greetings from your brothers and sisters of the Congregational Way and our churches around the country. I am Casey Vanderbent, the Interim Executive Secretary of the NACCC. Very happy to be here with you today. As I've traveled to our many churches, I'm bringing a message that the NACCC is alive and well and moving forward. I was able to offer some more information about that in a class before worship, our transition is going well, and there's a lot of good energy and positive direction in our association. As I meet with people and talk to them, I'm reminded at least part of what makes this Congregational Way so special to me, because I keep on coming to churches where I know people and have known people for a long time. I've been in this sanctuary numerous times in the past, and we have relationships, don't we, with people that we don't see every day. And those relationships are not less because we do not see them every day. And I think the same holds true for the relationships that exist across the miles between our many churches of the NACCC and the people in them, the folks we meet at annual meetings and other gatherings, and with whom we serve in national bodies. The things that bind us together are not so weak that they cannot handle those miles or that time in between. And so I know that your sister churches around the country send their greetings because I've been with them and because they are in fellowship with you. And I know that you send your greetings to them as well. And the last thing I want to do before I go into the sermon is to thank you for having this hymnal. I was pleased to be on the team that put the hymnal together. And the closing song that we're singing today is one of my absolute favorites, taught to me by a seminary professor who wrote the music for it. And this is another one of those ties that bind us, and it binds us well. So thank you. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations in each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to start with a quote from Henry Nouwen from his book Bread for the Journey, talking about covenant. God made a covenant with us. The word covenant means coming together. God wants to come together with us. In the stories in the Hebrew Bible, we see that God appears as a God who defends us against our enemies, protects us against dangers, and guides us to freedom. God is God for us. When Jesus comes, a new dimension of the covenant is revealed. In Jesus, God is born, grows to maturity, lives, suffers, and dies as we do. God is God with us. Finally, when Jesus leaves, he promises the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, God reveals the full depth of the covenant. God wants to be as close to us as our breath. God wants to breathe in us so that all we say, think, and do is completely inspired by God. God is God within us. Thus, God's covenant reveals to us how much God loves us. End quote. Today's Old Testament reading, we find the record of God's first covenant with humanity. Let's look at the language of that conversation between God and Abram. First, God told Abram who he is. I am God Almighty. By this name, El Shaddai in the Hebrew, he revealed his identity and character to Abram. El Shaddai has several layers of meaning. God who is all-sufficient. God who pours out blessings. Or the God who displays power, from which we get the Almighty translation. After God told Abram who he was, he told him what he expected of him. Just like Abram, we can only do what God expects of us when we know personally who God is and what God wants. We do that by being in relationship. The word in the scripture passage, translated as blameless, literally means whole. God wanted all of Abraham, wanting a total commitment. But even that commitment freely given by Abraham on more than one occasion didn't mean that everything would happen at once. Abraham was becoming a great man of faith. But you don't make a great person of faith overnight. It takes years of God's work in us, years of trusting in God, interspersed with perhaps only a few recognizable encounters with the Lord. Even then, a great person of faith is not the same as a perfect person of faith. Thus, we see that part of a covenant relationship with God requires, for some of us and from time to time, patient waiting. Part of Abram's promise of the process of deepening faith was God's agreement to give children to him, to encourage Abram's faith in that promise of descendants. God changed his name from Abram, which means the father of many, to Abraham, the father of many nations. His first original name, father of many, must have been a hard name to bear for a man who was the father of none, especially in that culture that linked having children with receiving God's blessing and the opposite with being cursed. Now God went a step further and made his name father of many nations. It is almost preposterous for a childless man to have such a name. Yet Abraham trusted in God's provision. For his wife, whose name was also changed, there's only a subtle difference between Sarai and Sarah. Sarai signifies my lady or my princess, which confines her relationship to one family or one person. But Sarah signifies either a lady or princess, not belonging to one at all, but the princess of a multitude. God gives us many names in faith: saint, righteous, chosen, royal priesthood, children of God, and so forth. And he knows he will accomplish the meaning of the name in us, even if it seems preposterous, and even when the weight seems unbearable. So God made a covenant with this old man. It was in part a broad covenant that would cover his descendants for all time, and in part, it was an agreement specific to Abraham. If you accept this agreement between me and your offspring, I will give you those offspring to inherit this blessing. For us, it is that general covenant that applies. Here once again are the words of that covenant: walk before me and be blameless, and I will make a covenant between me and you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. So we know that this first covenant was inheritable, handed down from generation to generation, and that it was simple. I will be your God, and you will be the people who are blameless, or as I mentioned before, people who are not necessarily perfect, but holy gods. Now, Paul talked about covenant in his letter to the Romans to help explain it. He said, the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. What did he mean by that? Since all of God's dealings with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob happened before the giving of the law through Moses, we can't say they were based on the law. Instead, they're based on God's invitation to Abraham. The law given later to help guide the people in what it means to be blameless cannot bring us into the blessings of God's promises. This is not because the law is bad, but because we're simply unable to keep it. Paul wrote, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. The idea seems to be that Abraham was strengthened in his faith, but Paul could also mean that Abraham was strengthened by his faith. Certainly both are true. His faith did not waver, and it gave glory to God. Though it was a huge challenge, Abraham remained steadfast in faith. His complete trust in God showed his faith. But rather than giving him glory, oh, isn't that Abraham a good guy? It glorified God. According to Paul and the teaching of our tradition, the old covenant remains in effect, perfected by the work of Christ on the cross. Jesus told us that he represented a new covenant between God and humanity, one that allowed us who are not the physical descendants of Abraham to be the spiritual inheritors of the promise given to him. Paul's words tell us something of the primary teaching of that covenant as it applies to Christ's work. Paul said that Jesus was handed over to death for our trespasses. The ancient Greek word translated handed over is paradidomai, and it was used to describe casting people into prison or delivering them to justice. We sinned, but instead of being handed over, God handed Jesus over instead. And Paul also said Jesus was raised for our justification, directly relates to that requirement of the original covenant of Abraham, that we remain blameless or holy gods in order to be in right relationship with God. We couldn't do it any more perfectly than Abraham did. So our only chance at justification was for Jesus to do it for us. That is the teaching of our faith. We celebrate the truth of that covenant and the unending gift of God's grace as we gather periodically at the Lord's table. It is the representation of Christ's work, the taking on of our burden, just as we take on his perfection through the outpouring of God's grace. Thus, at the Lord's table, more than any other place or time, we celebrate the new covenant. Of course, as Congregationalists, we affirm and celebrate another kind of covenant as well, the one that binds together sisters and brothers in faith. We uphold everything that the Scriptures teach us about the nature of our covenant relationship with our Creator, and we extend that understanding to the people around us who share in that great promise. This church has a covenant. It reads, as followers of Jesus Christ, we commit ourselves to share in the worship and service of God, to grow in the knowledge and expression of our faith, to reach out with compassion to those in need, to treat each other with love and understanding, and to return to God a portion of God's gifts. It's a good covenant. It describes, as all covenants ought to do, our contract with another. It states for all members to claim and for all the world to know our commitment to God and to one another. And there's another layer to this covenant reality that exists between sister churches of the congregational way. It's why I'm here among you today. It is how I came to know your pastors and some of your members, why I have been in your building numerous times in the past. And while we do not have a covenant text that we read together as children of the way, we share in the covenant text that has been written upon our hearts, creating a bond that is greater than the miles that are between our churches or the sometimes troublesome chasm that lies between our professed theologies. Bound together by our congregational heritage, and by the sharing of God's great promises, we share a covenant bond that can lead to mutual support, tremendous fellowship, and synergistic ministry opportunities that help to make us more than the sum of our parts, while honoring the freedom of expression of each unique congregation. It's almost impossible to think of something so amazing working out so well, and the only reason it does, in my opinion, is because that covenant is based not in human invention, but in divine providence. Covenant relationship, whether between the individual and God, between believers who share in church community, or between different churches is a tremendous, precious gift from God. But we do not receive the gift without reaching out for it and accepting it in faith. Abraham's example helps us to understand the nature of that kind of faith. The conception of Abraham's son Isaac was a miracle, but it was not immaculate. Abraham's faith did not mean that he did nothing and just waited for God to create a child in Sarah's womb. Abraham and Sarah had marital relations and trusted God for a miraculous result. This shows us that faith does not mean doing nothing, but doing all with trust and reliance on God and His miraculous work. Abraham was wholly God's because he participated in the promise given to him. Paul was right. Abraham was not considered righteous because he fulfilled a set of laws, but because he was faithful to the agreement he made with God to be wholly His. You know from your own church experience that covenant is something to be worked at and practiced and given your best attention, or it will not develop into all that it can be. That same holds true for our covenant relationships between churches of the congregational way. But when we reach out for it, faithfully anticipating the very best, great rewards are in store. We cannot hope to achieve fully and perfectly that state of being holy gods, but we can sure get a whole lot of help. Henry Nouwen's words are true. God is for us, with us, and within us, giving us the grace we need to be the Lord's faithful people in the world. What a blessing it is to share that gift of grace with a world that seems bent on following a set of laws, thinking that they will somehow bring us closer to God or worthy of His love. Thank God for that grace. And thank God for our continued fellowship in Christ. Amen.